Welcome to the Not All Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang. Today's show is part of our Fitness Friday series, sponsored by Health IQ. Remember, Health IQ is an insurance agency that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, triathletes, and vegans get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/NOBS to support the show and learn more about the great healthy fitness-related life insurance quotes from Health IQ. Well, today's show is another great one in our series. Our guest today is Dr. Ruth Heidrich. Dr. Heidrich is a seasoned, raw, vegan Ironman, or as she likes to say, Iron Lady, triathlete. She is the winner of more than 1,000 trophies, 6 Ironman triathlons, 8 gold medals in the U.S. Senior Olympics, and 67 plus marathons, including Boston, New York, and Moscow. Named one of the 10 fittest women in North America, Dr. Heidrich will give us her insights, tips, and advice about how to get fit and stay fit.
Living a good, long, healthy life depends so much on the food that you put into your body and the exercise you get to move it around. I found this out the hard way in many cases. I was running marathons and got breast cancer, and I thought I was eating a healthy diet, but as it turns out, I was eating a very unhealthy diet. So that's when I learned how to get both the diet and the exercise right, and I'm supposedly the poster child for elder fitness.
That, of course, is our guest today, Dr. Ruth Heidrich, talking to us via Skype from the lovely locale of Hawaii, which has some of the world's best climate for fitness. Dr. Ruth Heidrich, welcome to the show. And I have to tell you right here at the start, I happen to know that in 3 weeks you will be 83. So happy birthday from the Not Old Better Show, but welcome.
Well, thank you. It's going to be another age achieved, and like so few people, I am proud of it. The older I get, the smarter I get, I think. I hope.
Well, I agree with you. And I'm sure of that. I've done a fair bit of research on you. I also know that we're speaking to you today in Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
How nice.
I feel sorry for you.
Yes, I'm envious. Absolutely. I got to tell you that. And I know that you've just finished a mini marathon training session, right?
Well, it's a mini triathlon.
Ah, it's a triathlon.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So how was
the running? I do biking and swimming.
Well, good for you. Yeah, at 83, you are going strong. But let's start with a little history. My father was a doctor, an internist, and my sister is an internist. So I have a real love of health and, of course, fitness.
Oh, good.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So it's just a pleasure to talk to you. But where did your love of health and fitness begin?
Oh, let me see. I think it was always there. I had an uncle who was an MD, and he gave me a doctor's kit when I was 7 or 8 years old. And that was on my father's side. And on my mother's side, I had an uncle who was a bacteriologist and then went into dentistry. And they both went to Stanford University. So I think that's where it started. And then in high school, I was always interested in biology and anything to do with health. And that's it. Oh, in university, I took a nutrition course. Of course, this is back in the 50s when they were teaching a lot about the need for animal protein and animal sources of calcium, which is, we know now, is not true at all. So it's been a lifelong journey. I never started running until, you know, back then in the 50s, girls wouldn't run. You know, it was unfeminine. But in 1968, Kenneth Cooper published a book called Aerobics.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across a newsstand and saw that word, and I thought, gee, I wonder what that is. Picked up the book, thumbed through it, and bought it. And I sat down that evening, read through the whole book, a lot of charts and graphs, so it was easy. But he talked about all the benefits of running, and they go from head to toe, literally. And so the next morning, I went out for a run and came back just energized and feeling really fantastic. So that was the start of the running in 1968. Then in 1982, I found a lump in my breast, and of course, you know, you're supposed to go check it out immediately, and it was the shock of my life, turned everything upside down, and it turned out to be stage 4 breast cancer, infiltrating ductal carcinoma, a moderately fast spreading. And because I found the lump, and you could see it, it's actually over 5 centimeters. That's pretty big, you know, the bigger than the size of a golf ball. So then that's when I started thinking, wait a minute, I'm running marathons, had a 14-year history of running. I thought I was fit, healthy. I looked fit and healthy. I was 47 at the time. And so I started doing a little bit of research on why I got breast cancer. Nobody else I had ever heard of had breast cancer. And then I came across Dr. John McDougall, who had just been given a grant to study diet and breast cancer. And he was right here in Hawaii. So I ran to the phone, called him, and said, I have just been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I want to find out more about your research. He said, get your medical records and come to my office. I need to talk to you. And that's when he said, it's diet that caused your breast cancer. And I said, oh, no, not in my case. Yeah, I was relying on my university course. No, I don't eat red meat. It's only chicken and fish, and it's not full-fat dairy. It's so skim that it's powdered milk. And he kind of chuckled, and he said, it's your diet. I said, what do you mean? So he showed me the research. There, back in 1982, there were already animal studies showing how animal foods can cause cancer, and that if you change the diet, the cancers fall off. And then there were epidemiological studies of populations, and he showed me how breast cancer is rare in countries in Asia and Africa. And I said, well, it's genetics. He said, no. He said, look, here in Hawaii, and that's where we were lucky, having a multicultural environment, because we had lots of immigration. So we had Asians who changed to the standard American diet, you know, SAD. And within 5 years, they were getting not only breast cancer, but heart disease, high blood pressure, and getting more obese. So within 2 hours after walking out of his office, it was no slow, gradual, moderate change for me. It was 100%. And that was, 36 years ago. I have not eaten any animal products, nor any dairy, no oils. So it's been a whole food, plant-based, 100% diet, as little refining as possible. And it was right after that, again, lucky you live Hawaii, the Iron Man, what had just been created, because runners thought, like me, oh, I'm the fittest, healthiest. And swimmers said, no, we're fitter and healthier. And the cyclist said, we got you all beat. John Howard was really well known as the cyclist then. And so these guys sat down and said, okay, here's the test. We will all three do all three exercises and see who wins. That was the start of the Ironman. So again, lucky to be in the right place at the right time. I thought, I've already gotten the marathons down pat. All I have to do is add the swimming and the biking. So I started that immediately after the cancer surgery. I had no chemo, no radiation, because Dr. McDougall said, it's your diet, it caused the cancer, and it'll reverse the cancer. So after the See, I did a short triathlon a few months later in 1982 and 1983, did a half Ironman, which qualified me for the full Ironman in Kona, Hawaii. And so that was 1984, the first cancer patient to do it and the first vegan to do it. Dave Scott was already vegetarian, but he was doing dairy and cottage cheese and not quite vegan, but he was winning just even with a, quote, vegetarian diet. So after this, and started getting gold medals and competing literally all over the world, Japan, New Zealand, Canada, Dr. McDougall said, you've got to write a book. You've got to tell women that, and I said, me, write a book? Who's going to read the book that I write? And he said, listen, I tell women that they need to change their diet, and most of them just walk out of here shaking their heads and say, no way could I give up cheese or my steaks or my lobster or butter. And he said, you'd be surprised how many can't do it. But listening to your story and how you've literally run with it, maybe they'll listen. So that was the genesis of A Race for Life. So that's kind of where I am today.
Yeah, and this diet that you went on, this kind of low fat vegan diet, is that correct way to put it?
That's a good way. Yeah, uh-huh. I know the V word scares a lot of people, and they kind of associate it with being wimpy or pimply faced or whatever. That was the main motivation for me wanting to do the Ironman. Not only did it seem like a fun challenge, you know, by this time I was, pardon the expression, menopausal, you know, and going through kind of a life crisis anyway. And I thought, rather than fade away as an old female, I'm going to set some new records and show how aging can, it's never too late. And that if you can do an Ironman triathlon and be fit and healthy, it's just got to prove to everybody. But you know what? They're still not convinced. You know, this was 36 years ago, and I'm still trying to show people this is the diet that reverses not only cancers, and prostate cancer is kind of a similar problem with men. It's a hormone-related disease, and doctors will tell all men that you will get prostate cancer if you live long enough, that it's inevitable. Not in other countries, again, not in Asia and African countries, it doesn't happen. And all the other things that are associated with eating animal products and refined processed foods. Heart disease is the number one killer. Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn has proved you can reverse heart disease. He took a whole bunch of patients from the Cleveland Clinic that had been told to go home. You've had so many heart attacks. We've done so many stents. You're on so many drugs. There's nothing more we can do for you. He took those patients, 24 of them, put them on this diet, and reversed their heart disease. Their coronary arteries opened up. Now, that should have been enough to convince everybody. The cancer reversal, Dr. McDougall has been doing this with patients for, again, 30, well, let's see, I was one of the first, so more than 36 years. I don't know what it's going to take. Dementia, oh, that's a biggie right now, isn't it?
Well, let's talk about that, because yeah. What I read, too, was through this diet process, you even experienced some positive impacts on your brain.
Absolutely. I don't know if everybody would agree with me, but I don't think I have any signs of dementia. I've written now 4 books. I've got ideas for a couple more. One of them is running around the world because of my and I've been literally around the world twice. Once on a ship and once on jetting from one place, one continent to another. And I've got photographs of running on the Great Wall of China, running around Stonehenge in England, running in Kenya, running across all over the U.S., all the provinces in Canada, in Alaska. And so that's going to make a great picture book, I think, running around the world, because it's a wonderful way to see our planet and to learn how not to destroy it, which is another problem with eating all these animal products, the environmental problems that we're facing there. And then I found out that not only with dementia, but also the dreaded ED. ED, erectile dysfunction, has become a household word. I mean, I see ads for it all over. This can be reversed. There, you name, try to name something that you don't think is diet related.
Yeah, well, it, just everything today, and that's why I mentioned the brain and ED. And I know you've got a book coming up on ED, the subject of ED.
That's going to be my fifth book for sure, because I think this is bound to get a lot of attention. In fact, I've mentioned it to a couple of people, and you ought to see their heads spin. What? Yes, it can open up the arteries all over the body. It can reverse diabetes. That's another major epidemic that we're facing. Chubby children. When I was in Japan doing the Ironman there, people would come up, those who could speak English or had a translator would say, they'd ask me about diet and what was happening and what was I doing, and cancer, dreaded word in Japan especially. And this woman said, you know, for the first time we are seeing chubby children. And that's because Japan, as they think they're progressing, they become more westernized, they are now having higher rates of breast cancer, heart disease, and chubby children. China, same thing is happening as they get westernized, change their diet, as our fast food industry expands into these relatively undeveloped countries. They're, you know, they're suffering the same problems. It's just a wave of sickness, and all it's all due for the to the profit motive. You know, companies make big money selling fast foods.
Yeah. So I have a question for you about this V word, the vegan word.
Yep.
Is it all or nothing? I mean, can we kind of stop in waves? Can we take this kind of one step at a time, or is it 100% as you suggested earlier?
It's your choice. Now, what Dr. Neil Barnard says, he's the doctor who developed or created the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. He goes all around lecturing doctors primarily. He says small changes, small results, big changes, big results. I was facing stage 4 breast cancer. I needed to go for the biggest result. That's why 2 hours. If you're nice, fit, and healthy, I guess you could do it gradually. Although, as I explain in my books, when you just try to cut back, it sometimes doesn't work. People who've tried to cut back on cigarettes, you know, cut down on cigarettes, doesn't work, because you keep that taste for it developed. Mm-hmm. And you don't let it go away. Same with alcoholism. The people who try
and,
to cut
and
back.
Sugar, we can we can develop a taste and a real fondness for sugar,
and you cut
we're
back on
almost
it,
get addicted.
But it keeps that taste alive. Mm-hmm. And what happens within 3 days? Your taste buds start changing. Isn't that fascinating?
Yes.
I never believed that I would love kale over most all other foods. I go to the farmer's market and I can hardly wait to, I wash it first, but I chomp on it raw. Raw greens make up the basis of all my meals. In fact, my cookbook is an e-book, and it's CHEF. CHEF is my acronym for cheap, healthy, easy, and fast, because I don't want to spend a lot of time in the kitchen. I'd rather be outside running, biking, swimming. So and my website is RuthHeidrich.com, has all this, a lot of this information. A lot of it's free.
Yeah, I noticed on the website, We're gonna put links up to the website for you,
Dr.
Ruth, and we're gonna make sure to put links up to your books, to your ebook, to the chef book, and everything else. And I noticed that there were a lot of things that were free too. You'll even give some advice or some fitness training services to other through the Ask Dr. Ruth question.
Oh yeah, that I really enjoy the contact. In fact, each person who buys my chef book, I say, be sure to get back to me with any questions or comments, and a lot of them do. We've developed a correspondence that keeps on going. And the Ask Dr. Ruth, also they confuse me with that other Dr. Ruth. and you'd be amazed at some of the questions. You'd be embarrassed.
Well, maybe that's led to the ED book. Then.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a break with Dr. Ruth here for just a moment, but we'll be right back. Hey, this is Paul. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back with Dr. Ruth and more of her fascinating story about health and fitness and being a role model for all of us, irrespective of age. Speaking of health and fitness, as I mentioned, The Not Old Better Show is proudly sponsored by Health IQ. All the Not Old Better Show audience knows what a fitness fan I am, with yoga, cardio, stretching, and weightlifting part of my daily routine. We've talked about it here a lot. You know, with my love of fitness, I have found a life insurance agency who loves fitness too and rewards those of us who exercise and lead healthy lifestyles with exclusive, special, and lower rates. Health IQ tells me that their customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. Health IQ can do that because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease compared to people who are inactive. It makes sense. Like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. Trustpilot gives Health IQ a 9.6 out of 10 rating. Health IQ factors in low heart rate, BMI, or body mass index, the body's percentage of fat, and gym membership, which helps with rates and qualifying. These are real advantages, according to Health IQ. Check out Health IQ's testimonials from USA Racquetball, US Master Swimming, American Trail Runners Association, and many others. They're really great. And check out the Health IQ quiz, which is eye-opening and really fun to do. That's healthiq.com/NOBS. Check out Health IQ for more details and mention the Not Old Better Show. Thanks. We're back, and we're with Dr. Ruth Heidrick. Dr. Heidrick is known as one of America's 10 fittest women, and she joins us today from Hawaii following her daily mini triathlon fitness preparation. And so, Dr. Ruth, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Well, you know, I just turned 60 in May, and my audience is right there with me. Is it too late to start on a health, nutritional, and fitness lifestyle for us?
Oh, heavens no. Not at all. In fact, the older you get, the more changes you're going to see. Blood vessels will open up. You can develop muscles. And when you exercise, you get these endorphins that make you feel really good after. You can still build muscle at any age. There's a nursing home study where all of these, you know, nursing homes where we warehouse our elders. And what this Maria Fiodorone wanted to do some research on elders, really, really elderly. And they wheeled in a bunch of weightlifting equipment, and for 6 weeks she had them exercising, lifting weights, and the supervised fitness program. And half of them threw away their walkers and their canes, and the rest all improved their fitness levels. Their heart rates declined. You know, when you're unfit, your heart rate has to beat faster to move the blood around. And their pulmonary function improved. When you're breathing hard, going anaerobic, your body adapts to that. And the brain never stops producing new neurons, connections, synapses in the brain. So, no, it is never too late. In fact, the older you are when you start, the better chance you have of winning gold medals. You know how much competition I have in races? So,
yeah, that's good.
I've got almost 1,000 gold medals, and I have to say some of them were due because I was the only one in the age group.
Well, at 83, yeah. You got to take it where it comes. I just believe that 100%, yep. Dr. Ruth.
It's fun. That's the other thing. People say, what? You 2 or 3 hours of exercise? No. It's 2 or 3 hours of being outside, of looking at the environment, thinking how lucky you are. The colors become more vivid. You just develop all kinds of gratitudes. You have to be mindful so you don't trip and fall.
And being outside accidents. Helps the mood, too, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
That's a big part of aging, and it's right there with lifestyle and nutrition.
And in my book, Lifelong Running, I was working with the Air Force in Ohio for almost 10 years, and I ran every morning before going to work. So you can run in any temperature. So being back in cold weather on the East Coast when it gets way below freezing, you just wear more clothes. You can run through anything.
What advice would you give to those of us that might just be starting out with an exercise program at age 60?
Well, you need to get some education, because what can happen is if you do too much too soon, you get injured. And that was another reason for writing Lifelong Running. Actually, it wasn't my idea. My editor, who edited A Race for Life and Senior Fitness, was going through my manuscript, and he thought, she really likes running. He looked down at his 45-year-old married man's belly and said, I'm going to try it. 45 years old, my editor started running, loved it so much that he has done the New York City Marathon 5 times, done Boston. Yeah, just really took to it. So so then he called me when I had been running for over 45 years. He said, you know, I get this call from New York City, and it's Martin. I've been thinking, you know, running has got so much, you need to learn a lot about doing it, and you've been doing it for so long. We need you to write another book. How about writing Lifelong Running, where you start teaching people what you have to do to get ready and all the tips and everything. So that was the genesis of Lifelong Running. And because he became such a devotee, he adds his own chapter. We talk about the 11 myths associated with running, because one of them is doctors will tell patients, it'll ruin your knees. Big, big myth. So what Martin does is have his own relatively young male's point of view offset by my older female's point of view. Actually, I wasn't that old when I started. Anyway, that's a book I would recommend for people thinking about starting slowly, and I've got programs in there. So, getting a coach would be good too.
Yeah, and so I think that's very helpful. Again, we're going to put links up to all of your work, but I suppose there are those days, you know, that come along that I just don't have all the vim and vigor that I need to. What should I do when that kind of comes into my mind about just kind of feeling a little bit less than enthusiastic about the gym?
You've got to take that first step. I'm not thinking so much about the gym, but just going out for a run, which you can do anytime, any place. What you can do is have your running gear, your running shorts, singlet, shoes, ready to go the night before. So when you get out of bed, and that is the best time to exercise, by the way, I'll talk about that in the books, and just take that first step out the door. And tell yourself, if you still don't want to do it, it's okay. Turn around, go back. I guarantee you, that'll never happen. You just get started, and that's all it takes. Do that first step. So that's my advice for those days. And you can take a day off, although you know, I exercise 7 days a week. I believe you exercise every day that you eat or every weekday that ends in D-A-Y because I enjoy it. I look forward to it. Every once in a while, if I have to get up at 3:30 to get to the airport to catch a 7 a.m. flight, I resent it. I just, you know,
yeah,
that's not
right.
Fair. You know? And so when I was working for the Air Force, I had a lot of TDY in Korea. So we'd have these long flights, and I'd get there jet-lagged and beat up from the flying and all that. I'd go for a run, and it would just really pep me up and help the jet lag and get me back on track. So the answer to everything.
Yeah, definitely. But there's a food component as you touch on as you write about. And so on those days when, you know, you're trying to catch a flight or you're just busy or stretched or even stressed out, you know, what do you do to kind of help make eating right easier? You know, sometimes I'll just want to grab some white bread toast or something sugary, as I say, you know, some cookies, you know, but how do we make it easier to eat right?
Your environment is everything. If you're surrounded by good food, that's what you're going to eat. So it starts at home in the kitchen and what you bring from the grocery store or farmer's market. I do almost all of my shopping at the farmer's market. So I'm surrounded by just really good, healthy fruits and vegetables. I eat mostly raw, so there's not even a lot of cooking. When I'm out, I make sure to take food with me. For example, for flying, I will take a bunch of baked potatoes, bananas. Bananas make a perfect portable food. Baked potatoes, you know, that's another myth that potatoes make you fat. It's what people put on the potatoes that ruins them. A plain baked potato, again, going back to your taste buds changing, they taste delicious, just plain. I know I was on a talk show once, and I told this to the host, and he shook his head. I don't believe it. It's true. It really is true. So your environment is everything. Be prepared. Take your food with you.
Well, Dr. Ruth, I know you're really busy. We're just so appreciative of your willingness to come on and give us all this advice. I just have one final question for you. After the 1,000 awards, all the accolades you've received, what do you consider to be your greatest accomplishment?
I haven't done it yet.
Good. Well, good. That means you're going to be around with us for a while.
Yep. Well, other than that, I think crossing the finish line of the Ironman the first time, I've got a picture of my arms raised and the smile. I have never seen me look so jubilant, so exhilarated. So that was the one thing that I think really changed my life. It made me so empowered because especially as an older woman, you know, menopausal, postmenopausal gets such a bad rap. And so that exercise makes you feel strong. You know, I also lift weights too. So anyway, I could go on and on.
Well, and I could go on and on talking with you, of course. And I hope that as the ED book comes out, I can invite you back on and we can talk about that too at some point.
I would love to. Being Dr. Ruth, that's, yes. Let me
Good.
Know when. Okay.
Well, thank you for all the help, the advice about staying fit. Both men and women can do this. You're really a model of fitness for all of us, regardless of age. And so appreciate your time. And congratulations on your birthday. Have a great birthday, and we will be talking to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Ruth. To learn more about Dr. Heidrich's approach to aging well, using diet and exercise as tools to fight disease, or to sign up for her free newsletter, please visit her website. We'll put links to that. You can also look for her story, How I Went from Cancer Patient to Ironman Triathlete, in the critically acclaimed documentary Forks Over Knives, or visit her author's page to learn more about her publications. My thanks to Dr. Heidrich today for joining us. What a special interview this has been. Happy birthday again, Dr. Heidrich. And my thanks to you, the listeners. Your time's valuable, and I always appreciate you spending some of it with me. Thanks again for all those who helped, including Health IQ. And remember, check out our next show, another great one, when we talk about better, the Not Old Better Show. Thanks.